Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Okay, a few things before we go to the Warrior calls. Listen to this from Brian Windhorst, ESPN's First Take, and he doubles down on something we heard before the year, which is that the Warriors with a 12-man rotation are jockeying and financial flexibility to be ready to make a big trade if someone becomes available. Well, now they're 7-1. And I bet most of you fans out there are like, don't trade anybody. Like we said, we got something. We got something with this group. Well, Windhorst says, no, get ready for a possible trade.
They may not want to do anything with this roster because it's so good, but the Warriors are the biggest candidate in my mind to make a big trade. Mm. They tried to trade for LeBron James last trade deadline. I know it was one of the most amazing stories that Woj and Ramona reported all last year was that trade talks went down. Okay, that didn't happen. Then they tried to trade for Paul George. Then they tried to trade for Lauri Markkanen. And this is a team that's got an itchy trigger finger trying to make a big deal. All of these players' value are increasing as this happens. Now, they may not want to touch what they've got going, but this team has its draft picks going forward. They have all these guys. They've lowered their payroll by $50 million.
All right. Again, that was from ESPN's First Take. And I think it leads to what is going to be the back and forth question for the next 3 months of Warriors basketball, which is the better they get, the more you can think championship. But the better they get, the less you're going to want it. Shake it up. So if they're jockeying for a trade, if they're built for a trade, what's the middle ground there? And as a Warrior fan, if you're watching them start to bank all these wins, do you want them to make a deal or do you want them to just continue to run it with this group?
It depends on how good they get. And I do think that it's kind of a double-edged sword because the better they get, the more you can retrieve by trading some of these pieces. So if Buddy continues to be this good and Kevon is skinny and forceful and productive and GP2 is getting his reverse dunk going and he's a real player and all the rest of it, the better these pieces are, the better they perform, the more you can get for them if you decide to trade them. But the other side of it is, as I mentioned during the crossover, if you're 36-18 and the deadline is coming up and you're the 2 seed in the West, or maybe you're the 3 seed or wherever you are, do you really want to roll the dice and break that up when you've gone 2/3 of the year and you've been that good? And like Gary said to us earlier, GP2, the locker room, the vibes are great.
Well, and you can look at it and say, okay, you could be good, but we know when you get to the end, you need stars in the NBA. Usually, there are very few kind of strength in numbers teams where it's just like, yeah, we've got 12 players, we've got our 1A+, and then everyone else is really good. That usually doesn't win in the end. However, if something does become available, if Giannis is on the market, then you also have to ask yourself, just because you make a trade doesn't mean it's going to work. So you're taking a huge risk. Like, you could get a great player and be worse. I mean, and don't act like it's not possible. The Bucks got Damian Lillard. They're worse.
Yeah.
They're worse.
Yeah, for a number of reasons. They've had injuries and, you know, they've got guys who are getting older. And, you know, Dame has not been in that winning situation yet. And so maybe he eventually turns out to be more of an Allen Iverson player who is a really good individual, but he's not somebody who you can be a championship team with.
Let's go to the phones. 888-957-9570. T.I. in Oakland's been super patient. What's up, T.I.? What are you doing?
Hey, Will, how you doing, man? Diz, what's going on?
What's up, T.I.?
The question I think you said was, how have the Warriors changed?
Yes.
So if I look at it, I think what's happening is the Warriors are getting back to their championship DNA, which consists of defense, high-efficient three-point shooting, energy, and the right personnel. I don't think the past couple of years they had the right personnel to get back to that championship DNA. So that's what I see coming out, what they're doing now. And also, the Warriors have always been a trendsetter. So I don't like hearing people say they're not going to stay with the 12-man rotation. Why not? If it's working.
Is, and thank you for the call. The question is the sustainability. The question is, where is this going? I get the vibe today. I understand it. There's kind of like markers. This whole season has felt like you're climbing a staircase, right? You start the season and you're like, okay, like we thought that they would be a deep team. We thought they would be a professional team. You go beat Portland. All right, nice. Then Steph Curry gets hurt and you're like, oh, we can still play basketball. That's good too. And you start stacking wins. You're 6-1, but the teams you've beaten largely don't excite people. But you've climbed a lot of stairs. You were A, pretty good, and B, you can now win without Steph. You're deep. Last night, you climbed another stair. And people are going to come out of last night's game and go, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You've got a chance to be an elite team. And so I think that T.I. is exactly right. You're seeing the DNA of the Warriors. I keep hearing people go, you know what's different is they're playing with joy. And I would argue that the joy actually sort of is a byproduct of the way they're playing as opposed to the other way around. They're not winning because they're playing with joy. They're playing with joy because they're winning.
I see it the other way.
Do you?
Yes, and I do think that when you have a joyous, comfortable environment, you can win more than the other way around. And yes, the talent has to be there. You can't just be a happy group of fellas and go 7-1, but I do think that happy people tend to perform better than unhappy people. And so I do think that this success is a byproduct of the chemistry and the culture.
I'll buy that it's probably at least a little bit of both, but things start feeding on one another. And so now you're looking at a team that wants to play defense, accepting of their role. And then when you go out there and do that, now you're getting the payoff. Like they're getting the positive reinforcement, which is you're winning basketball games. Gosh, you're doing it at the home of the champs.
Yep.
All of that is just going to keep building the whole thing. And, yeah, you get to a point where you're like, wait a minute, why are we all talking about trade here? Why would you change anything? We're far from that, but you could get there.
You could, or you could look at their first championship year and look at a team that had a guy who averaged 23.8, and this year that same guy's averaging 21. That'll go up. That year you won your title, you had somebody average 21.7. This year you have a guy who is largely the same, averaging 21. You had a really good wing player in Harrison Barnes. Well, you've got one now with Wiggins. Draymond was Draymond, and Draymond still is. And you look at the rest of that team, whether it's Iguodala and Bogut and Livingston,
yep.
This team's got equal depth in those kind of veteran pieces. So there are parallels between the team 10 years ago that won the first chip.
Jay Billis was part of the call on this game last night. He joins us in about 7 minutes. 888-957-9570. Don in Berkeley next up on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Don. What's up?
Hi. Hi. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey,
can you hear me?
Yep. Yeah, Don.
Gotcha.
Maybe it's just my warped sense of humor, but I think it's really amusing that everyone's talking about the Warriors' speed, like one of the callers on the earlier show with Guru, and yet they've got this guy named Slow-Mo. So I think speed and Slow-Mo make for a really amusing combination, and I just want to talk about Slow-Mo as somebody that was really annoying when he was on other teams. But he's really fun to watch on the Warriors. And that big smile on his face after he hit the third three when they left him alone last night was just really, really charming. So I think it's speed and Slow-Mo, and I do think that there's something about the vibes. But if I could say one more thing about the vibes, I think the Warriors have, besides Draymond having a hopefully a lasting change of heart, he seems to be playing differently, and Steph is always a cool customer. He gets riled up, but he's a very steady hand. The Warriors have some players who are not expecting a lot of playing time, except for Kuminga. And Kuminga is the guy that worries me because he's so talented, but he wants to show that talent. He wants to be a starter. He's playing it cool, sort of, by saying he accepts his bench role. But, you know, he's got a history of not being so cool, and he's young, and he's a little hot-headed. And, that worries me a little bit. But other than that, it's really fun to watch them flying to the ball and trapping. And when the trap's over, they're really fast to get back into their rotations. And it's been a revelation to me.
There you go. Thanks. Don, thanks so much. A couple thoughts there. First of all, isn't it funny how a uniform change can change our perceptions of a player so quickly?
Yeah.
His is Kyle Anderson, used to be so annoying. Give him a Warrior jersey. That's all you needed to do.
Exactly.
For a lot of people, that's how it was for Chris Paul last year.
And Blake Snell, too.
Yeah.
Like, how annoying was he when he was doing that for the Padres and you couldn't hit him?
Yeah.
And now it's less annoying when he's a Giant when he pitches. And it'll be more annoying next year wherever he goes, and he comes back and he goes 6 1/3 and walks 4 and allows one hit and, you know, throws 117 pitches in 3 innings.
Yeah.
I hold you down.
Blake didn't annoy me nearly as much, but I mean, like, Randy Johnson put on a Giants uniform.
Right.
Like, what?
Yeah. But, Earl Hershiser, or, yeah, similarly.
Give him a jersey, and it changes everything.
Yeah.
It changes everything immediately.
Interesting, the caller talked about how slow he is, because if you think about two of the five best players in the league, and even three of the top 10, you could say it's James Harden, who is slow, Luka Doncic, slow,
so,
and Nikola Jokic, he also plays slow. So fast does not always equate to good in the NBA.
We're going
to
keep taking your calls. We see all of you there, 888-957-9570. Jay Billis is going to enter the conversation coming up next as well. We're sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport. I do want to pass on one other thing, 49er related. Kyle Shanahan has stated publicly, quote, he expects Christian McCaffrey to return Sunday and play against the Bucs.
All right.
So
let's do this.
Not a surprise, but again, you know me, whenever you hear them say it publicly, it's a lot further than that.
Yeah.
So Christian's playing this Sunday.
And that's on Thursday that comes out.
Correct.
And yesterday Kyle had said, like, oh, I'll let you know at game time. And he was obviously joking, but the fact that he comes out today and says that they expect him to play, that tells me that he's ready for a full go.
I think they've had 3 weeks of good progress and response from his body in practice. And so here we go, man. Rev it up. And for everybody who drafted him number one overall, here you are. It's time to change your team. Christian McCaffrey is back and ready to ride.
A little late for Lubman, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. If you're 2-7, sorry. But anyway.
1-8, I think.
Is he really? Good Lord.
Yeah.
All right, Jay Billis joins us next. We'll continue with your phone calls. Fade the Dibbers is still ahead, too. It's all coming this hour. 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibbs.
Will and Bibby
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we're having some fun today, and that's not unexpected, because the Golden State Warriors took it to a new level last night. It's one thing to be optimistic. It's another to get off to a good start. Changes the tone of the whole season when then you get your first real big measuring stick and you pass with flying colors. That's what the Warriors did last night. Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Glad you're with us, and let's go out to one of the people who obviously we know very well in the hoops world and was on the call last night with ESPN, Jay Billis, on the River Islands guest line. Jay, thanks for coming on. What were your impressions for measuring stick night for the Warriors?
I thought the Warriors played really well. It's a really, really outstanding defensive team, and very different from the team I think we all saw last year. They can really guard the ball. They did a great job, I thought, game plan wise, trapping Jason Tatum in the first half, getting the ball out of his hands, and they forced him left a lot. And I thought did a really good job, and they were good on the boards. They took care of the ball for the most part. Look, the first probably seven games that Golden State played were not a murderer's row. It was playing against some rebuilding teams and teams that haven't been quite as successful. So I agree with you. It was a measuring stick, but I do think that things would have been more difficult if Jaylen Brown had played and Kristaps Porzingis was in the lineup. That makes Boston that much better. And that's one of the reasons they're you know, sort of the lead contender to win it again. But I think it was really positive for Golden State. They're very, very good.
The Warriors with a little bit of that November college basketball vibe in that they're playing 11, if not 12 guys at times. What do you make of that deep rotation that Steve Kerr is going to?
I think because he's got some interchangeable parts, you know, and he can swap out Trace Jackson Davis for Kevon Looney, you know, have a lob threat in Davis, and then bring in more of an offensive rebounder and a seasoned defender in Looney, gives him some flexibility. It takes Draymond Green doesn't have to play the five. He can play the four, which I think is a lot easier on him. It makes him more effective and more of a playmaker. But they have some interchangeable parts in different areas, and having Buddy Hield play sort of Robin to Curry's Batman is kind of nice, where you got a guy that can knock down. He's not quite Klay Thompson, but he's a pretty good he's pretty close, and he's just not the defender that Klay was for Golden State. But they got a lot of things to be excited about. You know, you do wonder if there's going to be something, you know, in the future that could offer them another big time player that might be able to help get them a little bit closer to winning it in the Steph Curry window. But boy, what you saw was impressive. And like your point about playing so many people, I think they can continue to do it because it gives them so much defensive energy without wearing down their core group of guys.
Jay Billis with us. Jay, I think what you just touched on is the question that's only going to grow throughout the season, which is they can look really good, but there's also this looming idea of this roster is set up for a trade, and therefore maybe they can get an even bigger name in. My question to you, I guess, is do you see them projecting as needing that? They're definitely good, but do they need something that's a little more devastating to potentially actually being a May or a June competitor?
Well, I mean, to be in the conference finals, you could see that happening if things, you know, if they stay healthy. But, you know, playing this way for 82 games, I think they can do it and be very, very successful. I think the question is if you're gonna win a 7-game series in the conference finals, do you need a little bit more? And I think the answer probably is yes, to feel comfortable about that. And to do it, you know, while Steph Curry, I mean, the end is closer than the beginning is now for Curry, even though he's at the top of his game and he's in great shape and playing extraordinarily well. If you want to give that opportunity in this window, it's worth considering. It depends what's out there and what it's going to cost. Things are difficult with the second apron business. So it's a lot on the plate of Mike Dunleavy Jr. and his staff to try to figure it out, but they got a chance now. But I just don't know that it's a NBA Finals chance. I think that's a little bit more of an open question. There's a long way to go.
A long, long way to go, and I can't help but think about where you are right now in Lawrence, Kansas, and a Warrior who played in Lawrence, Kansas, who might be that second star. Can Andrew Wiggins get back to that level where he was a couple of years ago and eventually be that second star for a team that is a championship contender?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not on every night. He doesn't have to do it every night, especially with Buddy Hield there now. And I think the last three games, you know, he was out two games. I think it was two straight games with, what was it, his back or something. And he hadn't looked quite the same yet, but defensively, he did. I thought he did a great job when he was on Jason Tatum last night, but he offensively didn't look like himself. I mean, I think there was a stretch there before the second half that over the last, you know, 2.5 games going in the second half last night, he was like 4 of 21, and that's not him. He's much more efficient than that, but I tend to think it was because of him being out and it's taken a little while to feel like himself, or at least that's what it looked like to me from the sidelines. But yeah, he's an important piece to the Golden State puzzle. But you know, if you add another kind of star caliber player to that crew that's a little bit older, and a veteran, maybe it's the right thing to do. I don't think it's the only way to go about it, but it's certainly worth worth considering. I think every team, not every team, I don't think Boston's looking to do anything, but there are a number of teams that are out there looking to upgrade. But when you've got somebody like Steph Curry, it gives you a chance to do something special, and you want to try to give him you know, every opportunity to do that. And if you can put somebody alongside him that gets you that much closer, I think you have to consider it.
Jay Billis, ESPN, he was on the call for the Warriors-Celtics game last night with us here, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Jay, what do you think the ceiling is for Jonathan Kuminga?
I think he's a future All-Star. You know, he's still so young. You know, he came from the G League Ignite, but he's so explosive, and he, you know, I mean, I thought he was, you know, fantastic in overtime in that Houston game when I think they were up 31 at one point. That game wound up getting taken to overtime, but if I remember right, watching the game, he must have scored 6 of the 8 points that that Golden State had in that overtime. But he's very capable. Is this the time for him? You know, can he be the guy that helps Steph, you know, get another championship? You know, being that young, I think it's an open question when you get to playoff time.
Can you develop, and this is not just JK, but any player, can you develop things like basketball acumen and feel and awareness? Are those things innate, Jay, or are those skills that you can develop just by going out there and playing more?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think there are some players that have an innate understanding of the game, and you know, instead of looking, they actually see ahead of the play. That happens. There are guys with better basketball IQs generally, but you can certainly learn and get better. And I think with that system that they run with all the passing, cutting, I mean, I'm not sure there's a team in the NBA that throws more passes in a game than and sets more screens in a game than Golden State does. And you're certainly gonna learn the more you're in it. I mean, look how Draymond Green, who has got an extraordinarily high basketball IQ, you know, from my time covering him in college and watching him in the NBA, I would put him on the highest tier of basketball IQ. Even his understanding of the nuances of the game have grown. Even in the last several years, it keeps getting better and better. So of course that's going to happen with Kuminga. But I wouldn't put him on the same plane at this stage of his career, even though he's younger, to be a third year guy than what Draymond was as a third year guy.
Jay, I want to go back to something you said earlier when, and I'm paraphrasing, but you kind of referred to Buddy Hield as like Klay Thompson light, certainly on the offensive end, but not as good as what Klay used to be defensively. That's kind of the nature of my question, because Klay's coming to town next week. There's still a lot of emotions about how the way things all went down. Let's not talk about who Klay used to be. What about what he is now, and how do you compare what Buddy Hield does now to what Klay does now?
I think they're very similar, and they're both really good sort of catch and shoot guys. And that doesn't mean there's not movement to when they catch and shoot. They both get the ball off really quickly, and they both have great range. But, heck, over the last 5 years, Buddy Hield has made more threes than Steph Curry's made, and Steph Curry's made a lot. So, you know, he's a weapon out there on the offensive end. Klay was different defensively than a lot of guards that can shoot it, and there aren't many that can shoot it like Klay. But when he came out of Washington State, I remember thinking, as well as he can shoot it, I actually thought his grit and defense was every bit as important as his shooting ability. And you know, I don't know. When you said, you know, there's going to be a lot of emotions, I hope the emotions are positive, because you know, I kind of look at that as I mean, he's a treasure for Golden State. Whether he's wearing that uniform or not, for all the things he accomplished when he was there and what he was an integral part of. I kind of look at it, not to go all old school, but like, you know, when Willie Mays left the Giants to go back with the Mets, you know, I can't imagine Giants fans looked at him as a Met. He's always a Giant. And I would hope that Warrior fans look at Clay. He's always a Warrior.
Yeah, we don't do that out here, Jay. I mean, you've been out here enough to know that we're a kinder, gentler people out here in California, especially Northern California. So I would imagine he's going to be showered with praise and emotion and a standing ovation out here.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing that because he's one. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
In addition to being an unbelievable player and competitor. So I'm glad to hear that.
You were mentioning grit, and I couldn't help but think about Draymond Green. And you know, you mentioned Steph on the back nine of his career, and Draymond is right there with him. When you watch Draymond play, do you marvel at just what he's able to do defensively at his relatively short stature?
I've always marveled at Draymond Green. He was a winner at the highest level in college when he was at Michigan State. And honestly, I didn't really understand when he was playing for Tom Izzo the kind of impact that he could have on an NBA team. I thought he could make an NBA team, but I didn't foresee this. I just didn't see it. And that may be a failing of me, but when I watch him and have watched him over the years, I marvel at him. I think you use that term, marvel. I'm in awe of him as a player. And I think he's one of the best defenders that's ever lived and ever played the game. And I mean, I'm sure you guys watched it, but when I was watching Golden State play New Orleans, and I know New Orleans was a little shorthanded, but without Trey Murphy and all that stuff, but the job he did on Zion Williamson, he's the only one in the league that can do that.
Yep.
He's the only one in the league. Nobody handles him like that. And he does that to players throughout the league. It's just stunning. And some of the passes he threw against Boston were just kind of next level things. He's got a magnificent understanding of the game. And people get caught up in some of the stuff he's done over the years, or you know, maybe he gets technicals and all that stuff. I get it, but they're missing the bigger picture if they're even thinking about that. He's one of the players, honestly, that I've respected the most in the time I've been covering the game. It's been, honestly, it's a joy to watch him play.
Oof, that's a big statement. Love that. Jay Billis is with us here on Willard and Dibbs. And obviously, Draymond is the leader of the defense. You mentioned earlier that it's a very good defensive team, and we're trying to figure out how they've taken such a big leap from last year to this year. And I wonder to what level you think that Jerry Stackhouse, especially as two guys with your North Carolina State roots, like, to what level do you think Jerry Stackhouse, who's kind of running the defense for this squad, has something to do with that?
I think it's been really helpful. And, you know, Steve Kerr said that he wanted to, he's always had kind of former players on his staff, and they'd moved on. Willie Green was one of them. And they've moved on, and he wanted a former player. And obviously having a former All-Star who is a great player, it adds even more credibility, but the defense is different, and I'm sure that the Warriors feel like part of it's personnel, that the personnel is different. They've got so many, you know, athletic guys that can switch and that can really guard the ball. And, you know, they won that game without Brandon Podziemski, yep. who was ill and couldn't play. He led the league in charges last year. So, you know, that takes another defender out that they would have had in there. But it just really impressive how they make really good decisions. They communicate. They fly all over the place. It's not a team that's got a ton of margin for error. I didn't really get a chance to listen to Steve Kerr's press conference, but, you know, I heard something about, you know, like when Steph Curry threw that long pass away, you know, Steve called the timeout. He looked pretty upset about it. And, you know, they can't have stuff like that. They can't afford to throw it around. Maybe a few years ago when they could score 125 points falling out of bed, that might have been okay. But now, you know, they've got to bring that defense every night. That's a difference maker for them, and the way they guard the line. But being able to guard the ball is huge because it keeps you out of rotation. And that was really impressive against I think Boston's a great team, even without Jaylen Brown. And that was a huge win, I think, a big confidence boost that they're doing all the right things.
No doubt. Fans out here are like, wait a minute, we think maybe we got something out here. Jay, what a treat to have you on, man. Thank you so much for doing it.
No, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, there it is. Jay Billis, ESPN, on the call last night, Dubs over the Celtics in a game changer.
Love it. Love to hear Jay doing some NBA. Of course, he is synonymous with college basketball, and nice to hear him out here doing NBA games as well. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's go back to the phones. We got Fade the Dibbers looming. And then also, if you missed any portion of our conversation with GP2, we'll have that for you shortly after 5 o'clock as well here on Willard and Dibbs. 888-957-9570. The question we're asking is kind of through your eyes and through your fandom, what has changed for the Warriors? Let's go to Dave in SF. Hi, Dave. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
What's up?
Jay Billis just touched on it. It's Stackhouse. Draymond Green touched on it on his podcast this morning that released, and him going out and contesting that pool shot, he said, you know, that's a point on his defensive stats. So I think everybody's really bought in, locked in, and I think the Warriors are getting back into that championship mentality in terms of our defense. And I'm really happy that we're putting that first, because we're going to go as far as our defense is going to take us. The offense will come, but our defense is stifling, and I love it.
They've been fantastic. Yeah, and Dave, thanks. I mean, Steve Kerr made a point before the year even started. He made this the message. He made it the message. And maybe he also made the right hire. And so I want to spread the credit around. Jerry Stackhouse gets a bunch of it. So does Draymond Green. So does Kyle Anderson. So does GP2. And so does
Melt.
And Melt. So does Steve Kerr, because he literally made it the message. We want to be a better defensive team. We need to be scrappier on defense. We need to defend without fouling. He was a broken record on that last year. And for whatever reason, it never clicked, whether that was physical, mental, combination of both, whatever. It seems to have changed. But I also don't want to, like when he says, but the offense will come, I want to point to this too. You know, to me, this is the other key that we haven't talked much about. Last year, the Warriors couldn't function when Steph Curry took a break.
Yep.
And now they were able to win 3 games without him even there.
Exactly, like, which is how many games they won last year without Steph Curry all year.
Correct. Like, this offense is a much, much different animal now also. So they are much better on both sides of the ball, in my opinion.
It's a small sample, but they are 10 points a game better defensively than they were last year. Last year, they were 18th in the league. They gave up 115 a game. This year, through 8, small sample, I know, they're number 2 in defense, behind only Oklahoma City. And they're giving up 105 a game. So already 10 points a game better. Now, will that hold up? Probably not. But the one thing that Steve Kerr told us is they want to play fast and play good defense at the same time. And they feel like they can. And so far through 8 games, they have.
Disco Stew Walnut Creek. What up, Disco Stew?
How you guys doing?
Good. Oh, it's Disco Stew. Great underrated Simpsons character. Glad to have you, Disco Stew.
Thank you. Thank you for recognizing that. I think this is the first time I've ever heard anybody talk about the assistant coaching. I think the Terry Stotts Stackhouse is a big thing for us. The style in which they're playing, I think, came with those guys. I think the amount of care that they're coming with the individual defending, the offense that pushes the ball forward with Terry Stotts, and I'm hoping that they continue to focus on that, because that's a style that's getting us wins from all these players.
Disco, thanks for the call.
I like it. And Disco, the only thing missing was your third-person reference, because that's what Disco Stu would say. Disco Stu thinks that the assistant coaches are doing great.
Disco Stu thinks Terry Stotts is the key.
Disco Stu always refers to Disco Stu. There's no I or me. It's Disco Stu.
Well, Mark thinks that there's plenty of stuff to go around here, because we're all going to... And that's fine. Like, you're not wrong. You want to say it's Terry Stotts and Jerry Stackhouse? Sure. The bottom line is you're 7-1, so everybody's going to get a piece of the pie.
Yep.
Steve Kerr set the tone on this. Sounds like he made some good hires. The locker room, as Steph Curry called it, is beautiful. They're deep. Mike Dunleavy made great acquisitions. He's made great draft picks. Those players are all listening and they're executing, and everybody's healthy and has their head screwed on straight. Even though Jonathan Kuminga may not be loving everything that's happening, it doesn't matter because he's reacting well with what he's being told to go out there and do.
And there is implied pressure when you have a 12 or a 13 man rotation. If you aren't out there playing defense or doing what you're supposed to do, you're coming out of the game. And there are other guys who will go in there and do the job. So even though it may not be overt pressure, the pressure is there for all these guys. When you're out there, you got to play defense because that's what you're being asked to do. And if you don't, you've got 8 guys on the bench who are dying to come in here and do what you're not doing.
Dibs, 5 days.
Until?
Clay.
Tuesday?
Clay.
Maybe my clothes will dry by then.
Probably not. In honor of, you look like I looked in Chicago at that,
totally
that Trey Lance
game.
That's exactly what I looked like. Anyway, in honor of Klay Thompson returning to Chase Center on Tuesday, and by the way, tickets still available, warriors.com, we are giving away tickets to the game on our show on Monday. And then on Tuesday, we'll be out on the plaza getting ready. We'll do the show out there, and we've got a Klay Warriors jersey to give away. And we're putting on the Klay Carnival at Thrive City. Come make a paper airplane. Throw it at your friend. It'll be fun. We're broadcasting live Tuesday before the game versus the Mavericks. Stay locked in for all the details. Find out how you can be involved and you can win with all that we're doing. We're also presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Fade the Divers is around the corner. We are taking your phone calls. Through your eyes, what has changed the Warriors? They are a completely different group. What has changed them? 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls. GP2, our conversation with him, is just about 25 minutes away. This is Willard and Dibs.
Willard and Dibs.
Sorry about my dog. Hey, cut it out.
I don't know if we've met your dog yet, Steve.
Sounds like she's a stretch four. Got some size to her in that bark.
More of a backup point guard.
On 95.7 The Game.
But it moves, Dibs. It moves.
Of you.
This is a living, breathing thing. You can't just sit here and be like, I saw that the number was 5.5. It could change.
I checked it about 9 minutes ago.
And it could change. It takes less than 9 minutes to change a number.
Well,
what's the number, Lucas?
5.5.
All right, 5.5.
It's 5.5, but it's heavily juiced Baltimore's way.
Okay.
So that tells
me. So it could go to 6.
It would go to 6 if it went anywhere.
And I'm looking at the my app, which is not FanDuel.
Yeah.
And it's 6.
Yep.
So you better, recognize.
Yeah. My app is Prize Picks, and I'm coming off a Prize Picks win last night.
Oh, congratulations.
Use the promo code Guru957.
What were your gizmos?
My two pick combo, because you have to do two or more, right. It was Steph Curry over 24, Jason Tatum over 30.
Oh.
Both were close.
Nice. Yeah, 32,
both came
right?
home, yeah. And I think Steph had 27.
Yeah. Abe was running around the house, and he had Steph. He had the same one. He had Steph, and then he had LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball.
Yep.
And LaMelo missed by one.
Oh, boy.
And apparently it was a situation where they were up by one with the ball with like 3 seconds to go, and he's like, he's going to get fouled. They're going to foul him, and he's going to go to the free throw line. And then he came running back into the room later. He's like, they lost. Like, somehow they...
What?
They found a way to... like lose the game. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I was cooking dinner. I'm like, I'm sorry about your $60.
Yeah.
And
I was feeding salmon to a 2-year-old and shooting looks. And early on, it's like, man, it was like 17 to 12. And the first quarter of 24-19, it was like, oh, this game's ugly. The Warriors might get run out of the gym.
Right.
And then Steph wasn't scoring. And Tatum wasn't either. In the third quarter, the stars got hot.
So I'm really interested to see what you pick for this game tonight.
It's a big game for me, Mark, because with a win, I'm back to 500.
Right, and you've tried this 4 times.
At least.
And you are 0-for.
I think I've tried to get back to 500, and Grandy isn't here with the spreadsheet. Lucas is mostly useless when it comes to most things.
Focused on cutting his own sound clip.
Right, right.
Anyway, go ahead.
It's been at least 4 times I've tried. I've had a chance to get back to 500.
And you have not hit any of them.
No, but tonight's a different night.
It is. However,
I'm having a good show.
Trends are trends. You're doing great. You beat Greg Cosell.
Big win for me today.
It was a photo finish, but we gave it to you. You're still down 3-2.
It's because he called Isaac Yiadom Yoda.
Right.
5 times.
Which is funny.
Cover receivers, yeah. I will. I almost did that to him, but I was having a good show.
Yeah, Yoda. He calls him Yoda.
Yeah.
Which is, I think we should just do, because that's fun.
Mm.
Yeah, Yoda or yodeling, whatever. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You won.
Big.
But that means next week you're going to try to get back to 500, and we know what happens when you get back to 500. You lose.
Usually.
So, America, if you're listening and you like money, you might want to fade the Dibbers.
It's time for
Fade the Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, kids, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
Ceases to piss me off.
Never ceases to amuse the living hell out of me. And right as I'm listening to it, the top text that comes in on the Comcast business text line, hello 650, just all it says is fade the Dibs and win big.
Jeez.
So somebody is really enjoying the hell out of this.
Yeah.
And I'm all ears. The Cincinnati Bengals visit the Baltimore Ravens on Thursday Night Football, and the Ravens are -5.5. Dibs?
Oh, what's the pick?
Yeah.
I
think that's what we do here.
Well, normally,
fade the Dibbers.
Well, the announcer says, Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
We already did that part.
Right, and that's normally what I would give the lock of the day,
no,
but
then
you
I
need
come
your
in
45-second filibuster.
Yes. I'm the lead host of the show. I come in and I mention the number, and then I hand it to you.
Yes.
That's how it works. And
normally
then
I get to work uninterrupted, which never happens.
That's not normal at all. What are you talking about? Go ahead.
I like the Bengals here tonight. I like the Bengals, and you know the what's wrong with you people?
We root for you to make a certain pick because we know who we want to take.
Yeah.
But then we pause if you pick who we want because then we're like, ooh, we should check ourselves. But when you pick the opposite, ooh, it's like getting your first cup of coffee for the day. Like the whole just juice goes through your body.
Normally you start clapping and you scream, fade,
woo!
Fade, fade. And Lucas runs around in circles.
I'm so
and we can
excited.
Do that.
Let's
fade,
go, fade. Fade. Hey! What? Well, I'm sorry. What's your pick?
5.5 points is a lot. I think the Bengals are better than what their record would indicate. And in fact, when you look at DVOA, their offense is really good. So is Baltimore's. Cincinnati's defense has struggled. I like a high-scoring game here. And 5.5 feels to me a little bit like it's backdoor cover country. And the Bengals have done well as an underdog against the spread. So I'm taking Cincinnati on the road, and I'm taking 5.5 cuckoosh.
Cuckoo! What is the Bengals' record this year as an underdog against the spread?
I believe they are 2-1.
Okay.
That's right. And then, as a...
if you're just going to...
2-1 is a road dog.
Okay,
as a road underdog. Yeah, I had these all up earlier when the pick was in.
All right, that's exciting.
But,
all right.
Yeah, and again, in my confidence pool, where I was 11-4 last week against the spread, cuckoo.
That one was Hebrew. That one wasn't a normal.
Lock it up, Itzhak. Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Ezra, lock it up. I can go, on. Anyway. This is not a super high confident pick, but I don't get to pick and choose my picks. I pick Thursday night, Niner games, and Monday night. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a tough one, but I'm taking the points. Kukush.
Our buddy JP in Berkeley just texted in. Let's not forget 5 weeks ago they played into overtime. Bengals and points is the way to go. And actually, I'm not sure if they actually – does JP, do you mean that the Bengals and the points is the way to go? Because 5 weeks ago in a different city, I'd argue, is irrelevant. But he started the text with, let's not forget, which is making me think that he's taking a shot at some sort of Greg Cosell. Because I feel like Greg Cosell said that about eight times in the interview.
He said the phrase, let's not forget. Okay.
Let's not forget that, you know, Chris Godwin is out or whatever. Whatever it was that he was saying.
Yeah. Bengals led by 10 in that game with 10 minutes to go in the fourth. Look, and that was at Cincinnati.
Right.
And I'm looking at it, ESPN, the win probability was 91% for the Bengals. And they went on to lose 41-38.
look at the pretty purple uniforms that the Ravens are wearing.
Yeah.
They're wearing pretty purples tonight.
Isn't that what they always wear at home?
No, they usually wear the black.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, they're wearing purple, like bright purple.
Yeah.
It's almost like a color rush situation. Remember when we were doing that a few years ago?
That's right.
On Thursday nights?
A little bit of a mixed emotions for me because I do have Derrick Henry as the lead dog on my third place fantasy football team.
All right, so I would like to propose a scenario to you.
Okay.
The Bengals and Ravens are tied at 24, and there are 2 minutes left to go on the clock, and the Ravens have first and goal at the two. Are you rooting for Derrick Henry to go into the end zone or get stuffed so that they have to kick a field goal and win by three?
Derrick Henry to score a touchdown.
Okay.
And
fade the Dibbers.
Well, and it's just the way it goes because I have money invested in our fantasy football league. And as I've mentioned many, many times before, I have never won a fantasy football league. And this year, my team is good enough.
They are good.
My team is good enough to maybe be in the conversation to where I make the playoffs. I think I'm third highest in points.
You're the three seed right now.
No one's going to catch Carter Chickering, most likely. He's three games clear of us, and we're all tied for third.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And we're two back of Lucas in second. No, but there's a bye.
Regular season tiger.
But the top two will get a bye into the semifinals, so you're automatically one win away from money.
Pretty sure I won that banana out of the sixth seed last year.
You sure did.
But anyway, go
ahead.
You
sure did. No, it's an easier route when you only have to win two.
For sure. But I hate the great regular season. For some reason, it always means you lose when you get to the playoffs.
And last year, there was no bye, if I'm not mistaken. It was... Did eight teams make it out of 14?
No.
Because we had a 14-team league.
I think it was six. I think it was six last year.
So six of the 14.
Anyway.
I was far out last year. But this year is different. And so if push comes to shove tonight, I would rather have my fantasy team do well than this cute, plucky little bit fade the Dibber.
Hang on a sec. I'm completing my wager on the Ravens. Minus six.
Yeah?
Minus six.
Feels like a big number. Cincinnati's in a spot where...
It does feel like a big number.
As Greg Cosell would say,
into it.
It's an almost must win for Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's true. But I just don't think they're good enough.